Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Bad Times Good Stories podcast. My name is Joe Flanders. I hope your November is off to a fantastic start. Hope you had a nice Halloween. My girlfriend and I dressed up as Mickey and Minnie Mouse purely for the reason of going to Chipotle and getting discounted burritos. That was all I wanted. That was all that we really wanted for Halloween, and we got it. Turns out, anything you can fit in a burrito is $4. So I got the queso. I don't even really like their queso, but I got it on principle. Got some guac, double chicken. It was a pretty great Halloween. I also left a box of mini crunch bars outside, and there were three less than when I left them. So somebody enjoyed them. Hopefully it was a child. That's what I'm telling myself, so that way I didn't just selfishly buy myself a burrito. And that was all I did for Halloween. Anyway, today on the show is the very funny and talented Caitlin Allen. And this is kind of part two of dating. Last week I had Kevin Nahai on, and he talked about getting goat fished. That should be the new term, goat fished. What would goat fished be? Goats eat a lot of grass. So maybe goat fish would be somebody who pretends to be interested in you just for the purpose of getting a free meal, like on a date. Goat fish? Anyway, Kevin was catfished multiple times and talked about online dating and all that good stuff and how bad it sucks. And Caitlin is also talking about dating, less of the online variety and more meeting people in person. And she was with the same guy until she was 28. They didn't start dating at birth. I think they dated when they were like 23 to 28. And that was her first relationship. And so now she's sort of playing the field and I don't think trying to settle down. And so we talk about that. We talk about the odd situations that can find somebody in. She dated a homeless person without knowing it, briefly, who was also a model. So that was intriguing. She also talks about how she developed very early and was an awkward, gangly, basically had a woman's body at age 12, and how nobody liked it at the time, but now that she's an adult, she's doing okay. Caitlin's kind of an open book, and I really appreciated her coming on. She has a podcast called Single AF. That stands for As Fuck, in case you weren't aware. And so you should check that out. It was just, I laughed a lot. She's really great. So I hope you enjoy it. If you do enjoy it, give us that 5-star review on iTunes. Please, it would be greatly appreciated. You can also check out badtimesgoodstoriespod.com for past episodes, links to merch, and a link to the Patreon page. So you can support this show and me and my producer, Chris, so that we feel like this is an actual job and not just something we really enjoy doing. You can also email me at badtimesgoodstoriespodcast@gmail.com if you have an embarrassing story that you'd like me to read on the air. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Caitlin Allen. So you're drinking decaf?
Yeah. Drinking decaf.
You off caffeine?
I've cut it out, yeah. I'm trying to handle anxiety in a natural way without meds.
Okay.
That's my intention, and that's I've been on meds for it in the past, during like especially stressful times. But, and no judgment to anybody who uses meds. It's like everyone has their own journey to figure this shit out. Right. But, I guess I'm just kind of determined to not be on any kind of medication unless I absolutely need it.
I think that's a good way to do things.
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing. And, things like alcohol and marijuana and caffeine, all have effects on your hormones, essentially. And hormones are, because my issue is, you know, it's just too much adrenaline, basically, and it just pumps out of nowhere, and then it hurts, and it doesn't feel good. And so the last thing, I noticed, too, the last thing I really need are uppers. Like, I'm a pretty, I was diagnosed with, like, ADHD as a kid, and was medicated. I think that's probably why I don't want to be on medication.
Yeah.
Because I was, like, so, I was, like, taking that stuff every day, and I didn't feel like myself.
Like,
and
so many people of our generation. Yeah. It's just like, oh, like, there's a thing. Take a medicine.
You're an annoying kid. Instead of just letting you be you and go run laps.
Yes.
Turn into a zombie. Right. And so we can deal with you. And also, too, when I was in college, which is really when I started taking the medication, it was because I was going to a school where I had no interest in what I was studying. And I'd be reading a book, and I'd be like, I can't fucking study. And they're like, oh, here, take this magic pill. And now I'm like, you know, getting my stuff done. But the real issue wasn't that. The real issue was I didn't give a shit about that.
Right.
You know? And so often we take these drugs and it's really like, I don't know. I feel like it was my body and my mind trying to tell me like, hey, you're not following your passions. You're scared to go after what you want to do. And I ended up dropping out. And that's when I went to film school.
Okay.
And then I was in school and I was like, I couldn't get enough.
Yeah.
And I was staying up till midnight. You know, granted, I was like drinking Red Bull or something to stay awake, but sure. I was like staying awake because I loved studying that stuff. So it wasn't because I had ADHD. It was because I didn't give a fuck.
Right. Oh, no, I was the same way. Yeah. I graduated. I was tested for ADHD and I was like, I guess the tests were inconclusive. They're like, we can't tell if he just doesn't give a shit or if there's
it's actually a problem. It's a fine line. A lot of creative people, they say that it must be ADHD because you're not interested in anything. It's like, no, it's because I want to do creative, artistic, expressive things. And you're making me learn about biology and I just don't give a shit, you know, or whatever. For me, it was history. I was like, I don't care what happened. I want to know what's happening now. You know, that was just me. But
yeah, that makes sense. Well, you're here now and not caffeinated. And you even made a sacrifice by giving up an acupuncture visit.
I did. I've tried for the anxiety. I was like, you know, I bought like a five visit package thing. And I was like, I'll give this a try. The results have been inconclusive because I've been kind of coming at it so many different ways. I don't know if it's the acupuncture or I've been taking, a supplement that's got a lot of magnesium, which is a calming, I guess that's an electrolyte. I don't know, but it's some kind of supplement. Anyway, so I've been doing a ton of yoga and I meditate every day. I don't miss meditation ever. And all those things combined have made a huge difference.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like, I don't think it's necessarily like one thing or the other. I think probably of all it's the meditation.
Right.
That's like changed my life in so many ways. But yeah, I got to acupuncture this morning and the doctor was running late and I was like, no way.
Mm-mm.
Not today.
Got an important place to be.
I've got a podcast in Koreatown to be at, buddy.
I
got
to sit in somebody's kitchen and talk about some
shitty
time.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Me too. Thanks for having me.
Oh,
this
of course.
Is fun.
Last week I had a guy, Kevin, who I'm helping with. He makes a mental health YouTube series of videos.
Hey, that's awesome. Mental health.
Yeah. He's been through a bunch of struggles and so I'm helping him do that. But we were talking about his online dating fiascos, I guess, and just the frustrations. And given that you host a podcast called Single as Fuck, I believe.
Single AF.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
but that's what it means. Is we're me and my buddy Nick do it, and we're both single as fuck. So
see, I'm just so excited that I know what an abbreviation means that I just have to say it all the time.
Yeah, no, I get it. You know, YOLO, right?
Yes. That's I only one. Do live once.
Yes. Yeah. So, as far as we know.
Yes, that's
true. Who the fuck knows? But yeah, so he's had a bunch of fiascos, huh?
Yeah. And so I was curious, I don't know if you have necessarily, but I'd love to get your take on one of the things that was really frustrating to him was he got catfished. Who he thought he was talking to for 2 weeks was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, like petite girl.
Sure.
Who showed up was a much larger
Udogi.
Width and height.
Width and height. Just all across the board.
Black haired person whose voice they had talked on the phone. Her voice was high when he talked to her on the phone, low in person.
So this person is a great performer.
Yes. Or got somebody else roped in.
Really?
Perhaps. He didn't ask.
Okay. A lot of questions. A lot of questions coming to the forefront.
He went on the whole date and didn't say anything. She was smart, well, in the sense that she just like bulldozed right through the obvious and was like sat down, was like, oh, sorry, I'm late. I was talking to my mom, da, 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 and then just never acknowledged it, which I was like, well, I tip my hat to her, I guess. And then finally at the end of the night, and like he paid for the dinner and everything. And then at the end of the night, she was like, could you walk me to your, or can you walk me to my car? And then at that point, he was just like, listen, I've enjoyed getting to know you, but you are not who you said you are in any way, shape, or form.
That's when he drew the line, was when she wanted a safe walk back to her car.
I guess that was like, enough.
Nope, he's like, I want you to die at this point, all right? The dinner, fine.
Yeah, I'll pay for the meal.
This is where I draw the line,
exactly.
Lady. That's so funny.
And he did ask, you know, like, what? And she just said, well, it's hard to find people to go on dates with me because of how I look. And, you know, anyway, it was just, on one hand, it's like, okay, well, she clearly has a lot of self-help things to work on.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yes.
Yeah.
As far as being comfortable with yourself and, you know, like.
And you don't know her experience. I mean, it might be true where like no one will even go on a date with her and that's sad, but this isn't the way to handle it, chica.
You know?
This isn't the way to go about things.
Yeah. So I don't, I guess you just answered that. To me, that was our answer as well, but we wanted to talk, I wanted to get the female perspective because
if a dude did this to me, it's a little bit different in terms of, because I would say a thing for women is safety.
Yeah.
So like if a guy did that to me, that's a huge red flag in terms of safety. And when you're doing online dating, I mean, any dating in general, you don't know this person. It's not like, you know, a friend connected you where you have some kind of, you know, connection of knowing who this person is.
Right.
And so really all you have to go by is their social media information. Maybe if they have that linked, sometimes it's just their dating profile.
Right. And it's just the story that they've created with their photos.
Yeah.
And you
and
never know how real that is.
Like asked me, you know, like, hey, do you want to come to my place and watch a movie or, you know, like come over and like, you know, I don't know, have a drink on the porch or something. And I'm like, yeah, you seem great, but I'm not going to your fucking house.
No.
You know what
no.
I mean? Like, and sometimes I'm like, wait, what? Why? Or even guys I've gone out with a couple times, you know, they'll want to do that. And I'm like, dude, I know the only, I'm not saying the only reason, because I'm not going to, this isn't across the board thing. I actually give men the benefit of the doubt most of the time. But if apartments are involved, then it's already, it's like on the table now that sex is,
yes.
is like on the table and you're like, now I got to say no to you and chances are in your space. Cause then I also don't want to bring you back to my place. Cause now you know where I live.
There's a lot to think about.
This is a dance.
Yeah.
I don't know if like all women do this and I'm sure like men should be doing this too. Cause women can be crazy too. Okay. I'm not like saying this is just a gender thing, but, you know, this was what I went, this is the last guy that I went through where I was like really into him and everything. And then I started finding out more about him and it was like, oh fuck. And I like let him into my place, you know? And it was like, and then nothing's going to happen, you know, like he's a good person and I'm not
right.
like scared, but it's one of those things where it's like, if my mom knew that I'd given this dude a key, like while I was at work and like he was in my place and. Oh, what the fuck? Like, yeah, I got pussy blindness, man, where I was just like, he's so hot. Here's my key. Take my clothes. Do you need food? Like, whatever you need, man. Dude, that's how good the dick was. Seriously.
It was so good that you would give him your clothes.
Yeah, I literally did. I'm not kidding. So
what did he, I'm curious.
Well, this guy ended up being homeless. That was the, I'm sorry, what now?
Oh.
And yeah. And so he had like, you know, he only had he had a big backpack kind of thing. And like, that's all he kind of came. I mean, he had like friends who would like leave shit at their place. You
right.
know, it wasn't like he was like, you know, pushing a shopping cart around homeless, but
yeah.
But he didn't have like his own place. And so we were doing laundry and he didn't have like he was borrowing my clothes while his clothes were in the laundry. And so yeah, he still has one of my sweatshirts. It's fine. I think he's sleeping on it.
Yeah, there's
just
fart? A no, she burped.
Oh, cool.
It's just like an old drunk man that lives here.
Know, just,
and it's just a little dog who just burps. poops on the floor. That's what happened right before we started rolling. So
I feel very fortunate to be here for that moment.
So I'm curious, is he homeless by choice? That makes it sound like a stupid question.
No, it's not a stupid question, because I do think that it's by choice. There's no like drug addiction. There's no, in fact, he's been going, same thing, like anxiety. He's on the same medication that that I was on, back in the day, and like seeing a therapist and doing all this stuff. I just think, yeah, this is kind of like all he knows.
And he just doesn't want to spend LA rent.
Well, that's the thing. Like he's a model and an actor, and like he's been in big like some big ads. And he said that there were times where he like did like, I think it was like a Puma ad or something, and then that night like slept under a bridge.
Wow.
So, and then like he had a place where he was like staying with this girl. It was like his ex, and he was like staying with her in some Airbnb. And I was like, how much were you paying for that? And it was like $60 to $80 a night. And I was like, that's like $2,400 a month that you were paying to live. Just go get your own fucking place. Like it's like this weird thing where some people, and I used to actually be like this, not to this degree, but I didn't want to root in, and I didn't want to, like, I love that I could just pack up and leave at any point. And it was a fear of like, it was a fear of like, if I'm here, I have to face shit. You know what I mean? Like if you get a lease, I remember having so much anxiety signing a lease, because it's like, I'm stuck here and I have to deal with whatever comes up, rather before when I was just like living, not like living out of my car, literally, but like I could live out of my car if I wanted to. Like if I need to just pack up and leave and escape, I could. So it was like, I think that's part of it, is like just not wanting to sit there, face your shit, deal with the consequences of your shit.
What kind of stuff were you worried about when you signed the lease? Like what kind of stuff?
What if I don't like it here? What if, you know, what if I have loud neighbors? What if there's something goes wrong with this? You know, what if I end up not being, you know, what if I lose my job and I can't afford this place anymore? Cause it was a nice spot, you know? You know, what if I find a better place?
Yeah.
You know, now I'm getting anxious just thinking about it now. you know, what if I find a better place, or I find a, you know, roommate that I get along with even better, or, you know, it's, you know, what if I get a job and it's all the way in El Segundo and like literally anxiety, I could think about a million things, dude. How much time do you have?
Yeah, sure.
So
where did that stem from? Do you know? Like, did you move around a lot as a kid or anything?
No,
or?
But there was a time in my life that I thought was like some of the best times of my life. And it was when I was just like, I was just on the road kind of thing. I just had, it's a feeling of freedom that is the most important to me. This goes back to dating. Like it's something that like, I feel like I'd be better in an open relationship than some kind of tied down thing.
Right.
It's that I want to know that if I have the impulse and the inspiration to do something, I can do it.
Yeah.
And when I can't, I feel trapped. I feel, and I just don't.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. I get
it. But it's been good for me, like having, actually my last boyfriend was very much the opposite, where he was like a homebody and rooted and like very, you know, centered. And I was like, like up in the clouds. And so it was really good, you know, having that. Cause I was like, oh, this is actually really nice. Like having a home that's decorated with things that you use.
Like, right. You know? Yeah. Like, oh, it feels like a real home.
Yeah. Now I have my own place, and that's really exciting, cause it feels very, it's my first like adult thing, you know?
Yeah.
Cause we were together for like 5 years, and it was always him, you know, like he would sign the lease and he'd pick it out and he'd put the deposit down. And I was just like, I'm just here to look good. Like,
I don't.
And I was, you know, it was great. And then all of a sudden when we were, you know, separated, it sounds like it was a marriage. It wasn't, but when we were like doing our own thing, and when we broke up, suddenly I was like, oh shit, I don't know how to do any of this stuff. Like how to do, I don't know.
Bills and
like, you know, I just had, he had all the furniture, he had everything because he had moved to Chicago. And so I was like, cool, I got a mattress on the floor and one pot. Sweet. And now I have my own place with my own bed frame and everything,
and it's, multiple pots.
I have lots of pots and pans.
Hey,
not trying to brag, but
no, hey,
I'm a fucking adult now.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, and I feel that because this is, he's homeless by choice, that we can kind of make light of this. How long did it take for you to realize that he was homeless? Was he good at covering this up?
Well, now here's the thing. He wasn't homeless when we first, and it was only like, it was a very passionate, all in, like 8 days.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, and I mean, I'd probably still be in it if it wasn't for friends of mine being like, you deserve better than a homeless guy.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that, but I mean, I really had feelings for him. And I was like, I'm, you know, what's the difference between me having these kinds of feelings for someone, but, I don't know, like they have some kind of terminal illness, but you know, or some kind of really bad disease or illness, or like they're sick or they're broke or I don't know, whatever these like conditional things.
Right.
Like what, how is this any different? And I mean, I still believe that, like, but at the same time, what I want right now in terms of a relationship is like a stable, like I want stability.
Sure.
Cause there's so much shit going on all the time. Like the last thing I need is to be like, you know, I don't know, like
not being able to count on your.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, man, he really like the things that he could do, he did. Like he was like fixing things in the apartment. And like, you know, when I came home from work one day, like he had food ready and, you know, like he was really like trying to make an effort about that stuff. And like, I appreciated that so much. And it was like, oh my God, it made it all the more heart wrenching.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I guess the difference between like an illness of some kind is that in this case, he's actively choosing to do, to live.
Yeah. And I mean, I think he's making steps in the right direction. Good. And I did, you know, I was like, look, call me when you've got your shit together.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. When you have some walls.
Yeah. And I mean, he was working on that. So when I was with, when I first met him or whatever, he was staying with that girl. And kind of the rule was like, you can't see other people if you're going to be living with me. That's not okay. And I don't want you bringing girls over here because they used to date. But he met me and he was like really into me. And so he's like, I'm moving out. And I was like, are you sure you want to do that? Like, do you have places to live? Da, da, da. And he was like, yeah, I'll figure it out. It's not a big deal. And then, he ended up like, cause we were just having such a good time. Like we would be hooking up and then I would be like, just stay. So he would stay with me. And so it took a couple of days before I was like, so where are you going to stay tonight? And he's like, I don't have a place to stay tonight. Maybe the, like, then he kind of like hinted at staying at a shelter and I was like, come again, like a homeless shelter.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I mean, I used to be homeless before. It's not a big, like I spent a lot of time in my life being homeless. It's not a big, like he came out of foster care.
Okay.
You know, like was on the streets in Virginia for a long time, you know? So I just don't think he knows how, like anything else, you know?
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
So it was like, and then when he never asked to stay with me, but the day that he was like, can I stay with you? I was like, no,
it's like been 8 days.
Yeah. It's, that's a lot. Like it was one thing when I offered because I could, and it was over the weekend and right. I didn't have any, you know, but like, I've got work, I've got, you know, after work, I've got this, I've got class, I've got, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, this is too much. And he kind of got pissed, you know, not pissed. That's really extreme, but you could tell he was like upset or disappointed. I was like, you have no ownership or entitlement over my home.
No.
So this is done.
Yeah.
Cause this isn't going to continue. And then there was, you know, a bit of a messy, ending there. But as far as I'm concerned, it's messy. Cause usually the guys I date are like, okay, cool. Well, if you ever want to get a drink, just call me, you know?
Yeah.
And I think he was like really, really into me. I mean, we were both into each other. I shouldn't just say it's like a one-way street. Like I really liked him a lot, but oh, man, I was like so close. If only you just had a lease, man, like, we'd be all in right now.
And you know, that's, it's not too much to ask.
I don't think it's much. I think it's pretty reasonable. I'm like, oh man, Caitlin, like let's raise those standards just a little bit, just a hair. Okay. So I'm on a dick hiatus right now, I think.
Yeah.
That one put a bad taste in my mouth, pun intended.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
So, yeah, so I'm taking a little dick hiatus, I think.
Well, so kind of getting back to the catfishing thing, I'm wondering if you can relate at all in the sense of like being self-conscious about something about
yourself myself.
Or, you know, like I'm trying to, it's easy to just be like, what a crazy person to do that. And that is true, but
sure,
you know,
empathy
I think
well, I mean, it wasn't until me and the ex split ways and I started dating that I was like, oh, I'm not like, cause I honestly thought I was like a four maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Like with a great personality. So like averaged out maybe a five or six.
Oh, no way.
So yeah, it was just how I'd always seen myself, you know, like, cause my ex was my first boyfriend. So I'd never dated before that. And I thought that he just like happened to like plain girls or whatever with good personalities. And I was also like, I was like 50 pounds heavier for a lot of my life. So, you know, and you live in LA,
right.
You get, you just can't help but compare a lot of the times.
Yes.
So like I've been there from a physical plate, but now I'm like, no, I'm definitely more than that. I wouldn't say I'm like, you know, in the upper percentile here in LA, But I, you know, when I'm going home actually today, I'm going to North Carolina and I'm going to be a fucking 10 there.
Hell
know?
Yes.
Hardly any makeup. They're going to be like, can I buy you these fruity, fruity pebbles?
Oh, fruity pebbles.
Because I'm not drinking. So right, I'm going to be at the grocery store. Yeah. And I'm going to be like, what do you want? Anything in the store. And I'll be like, give me those fucking fruity pebbles and a bottle of almond milk, baby. The good almond milk. Yeah. So I mean, I've been there where I didn't think that any guy was into it. Except for guys who liked maybe big butts,
right?
But who could like ignore this, you know, the face,
right.
But they're like, well, I can see it from behind. I don't know. But now I'm like, no, I've got a lot of confidence and like, you know, I don't feel that way anymore. But I will say I get self-conscious about finances out here. Cause I'll be like really into this guy, but he's like wealthy. And I'm like, well, he's not going to want to date me. I mean, I'm fine. Like, I'm not like, you know, using, I'm not using coupons or anything. You know what I mean? But like,
you know, I
but
have
I'm also,
started,
you know, I don't have a car. Like I take public transpo and, you know, my shit's from a lot of my clothes at Goodwill or Forever 21. You know what I mean? Like I'm not, I'll be, you know, want to be with a guy who's got a Range Rover or something like you know, I'll be like, that's never going to happen. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's right. I'll maybe get self-conscious in that regard.
I have started using the CVS coupons because I can't help it. Because I'll buy one thing and then the receipt is 5 feet long.
I was just going to say, it was comical the other day.
Yeah.
It took longer for that shit to print out than it did for me to ring up my order.
Yeah. Yeah, I've actually exclusively, the CVS near me has the self-checkouts.
Yeah.
And I exclusively use those because I had too many awkward exchanges where I'd be buying one thing and then the receipt machine would just keep going and I'd just stare at the clerk and we wouldn't have anything to say.
Yeah, like,
so now I just exclusively use the self-checkout.
Got any plans tonight?
Yeah. You could have a full-on conversation.
Yeah. While it's still going, you're like, how many trees have we killed in this one conversation?
Yeah. Sure. So that I can get $2 off of some butt cream or something.
Yeah. Butt like, cream.
You don't, what do you, you don't know me, CVS.
Oh God. That's always the worst too. Although I have to say time I was there, it was because this gentleman, I'm not sorry, but this gentleman, the condoms I had were not sufficient. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
So I had to go to CVS cause he's not going to fucking buy them. He didn't have the money. So I was like, I got to go buy Magnum condoms. And that was one of the only times where I was at CVS and I was like, dropped him down. Was like, what's up, Sheila? Yeah. Those are Magnums.
How's your night going?
Yeah. Cause mine's about to go down. Like, yeah. Cause usually it's like, yeah, here's some Zit cream and, I don't know, hemorrhoid itch relief. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's always something really embarrassing, but not that time.
No.
She didn't know he was homeless.
No.
She just knew he had a big dick. So.
Right. So you won that night.
I won that night.
You beat Sheila.
Yeah. So self-consciousness. Yeah. You know, also had big ears as a kid. I was born without the fold in the cartilage in the ears. So they stuck straight out. There was there's no fold to keep them like pinned back. And, so because of that, you know, once you get to like fifth grade or so, that's when kids start becoming assholes.
Oh yeah.
They were all like, I just started getting bullied around that time. And then when I got to middle school, it was even worse.
Yeah.
And I was a really good basketball player and, I mean, still am, but there were these group of boys, not even from my school. They were from another, like a competing school who'd go to my games. Sometimes even my fucking away games just to make fun of me.
Oh
like they would just
God.
Be calling me Dumbo and
right.
like, you know, classic. I'm like, get some new material. Like seriously. But I'd been telling my parent, you know, like I'd been telling my parents that I hate them, like my ears specifically.
Yeah.
I was like, this is horrible. And my mom would be like, you'll grow into them. Like my brother had something like that when he was a kid and now they're fine. I'm like, I'm not going to wait till I'm fucking 30. Before
normal years.
Yeah. So I would do it's like kind of heartbreaking, but I'd like, this is right in the beginning of the internet. So I would like Google or however you would search. I don't know. AOL search, you know, like how to fix it. And it'd be like wrap an ace bandage around your head overnight and like every night. And so like every night I'd like wrap it. And then every morning I'd wake up and like, this is the day. This is it. And then I'd go up to the mirror and I'd be like slowly unwrapping it. Like, please God, please fuck, fuck. Like I'd be so mad because it would need to just go boom and like stick back out. I'm like, shit. And then I tried super gluing them sometimes,
oh, no.
like to the back of my head. And then
oh, God.
Like anything. Cause I mean, I was like looking anything, any kind of solution. And my parents, you know, cause they're seeing this, but they're not seeing the bullying, but then when they'd go to my game, they started seeing they were at a game that these asshole kids showed up at and they're hearing these guys like literally just taunting me while I'm on the free throw, and I'm like crying, shooting free throws. Oh. And my parents are like, that's it, we got to do something.
Yeah.
And so yeah, they got me plastic surgery to put in permanent stitches to pin them back. Which I do think is kind of funny, because they're not like, let's teach you how to love yourself despite all this. They're like, right. No, let's change you. The moral of the story here is that you should change. No.
For the sake of society.
Yeah, yeah. It's just easier to do it that way, honey. Yeah. And I mean, I didn't care. I mean, it's funny, but I was like, thank God. Same reason. I mean, I had braces for like 8 years.
Yeah.
I had 18 teeth pulled.
Oh.
Yeah. I had multiple oral surgeries and stuff because my teeth were fucked.
Yeah.
And I'm just like so thankful. I mean, we weren't rich by any means, but my parents found a way to pay for all that, you know, so yeah. that I could just grace this screen without breaking it.
Well, two things.
Mm-hmm.
One, that had, I mean, for how long were you waking up every morning just disappointed?
Up until awful. About last year.
But at that age, I mean, because you're all right, everyone's so self-conscious.
Well, and I was also, I mean, I've always been a thick chick, like, curves. So I started my period when I was like 10 years old. So I had tits when I was 10, Ugh. Had this ass when I was 10. I grew, I was 5'8" in sixth grade. So I was just this like, just didn't. And all my girlfriends were like these little petite, they're all like cheerlead. Cause I was like a popular girl. I don't know why. I guess just a sense of humor helps, like,
yeah, a lot. Despite the ears and everything?
Despite being just like a gangly, awkward mess, like, yeah. I still was part of the popular group of girls for the most part. I mean, I was friends with everybody,
yeah,
but
yeah, I mean, I was the same way.
Yeah. I mean, I knew all the groups. I was cool with everybody, but, yeah, I was kind of in that group. And, I think also athletics helped, because at least in my school, like, a lot of the popular girls played some sort of sport, whether it was, you know, a lot of soccer players and cheerleaders and things like that. But still, it helped that I was an athlete. So because of that, I was surrounded by these like really classically pretty, you know, little girls who all had boyfriends in like the sixth grade. And I was like, I just felt like this fucking Yeti,
yeah,
you know, and other things too, like they all had straight hair and I had big curly hair, you know, and this like big ass. And I was like, what the fuck is this? So, and now those are all the things that like men like about me, that, right. You know what I mean? So yeah. It's funny. Yeah. It's funny that ended up being the, you know, now they're like, oh, thick girl. And I'm like, thank God for like J-Lo and Kim Kardashian, because now it's like, it's cool to have like, some chunk on you. And yeah. like, I was like, it's about time. I knew the tables would turn at right. some point, you know, right. like I didn't, cause there was no way. I've tried dieting. I've tried like working out all the time. Like this is about as good as it's going to get probably. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, knock on wood, you know, who knows, like maybe I'll end up doing a triathlon one day, but chances are like, this is it. And I like this. This is good.
This is apropos of nothing. But have you ever asked a guy that you were dating, like, you know, do I look okay or this and that? And then has they ever said you look healthy?
Healthy.
Is that a bad thing?
No, it I've depends said that on how they say it too. Like, I don't know why, but the image in my head is a very sexy black man in my bed going, girl, you look healthy. And I'd be like, thank you, Damien. I feel healthy.
I don't know. I feel like it's not like I say that to every single person I've dated or something, but I know over the years I've said that, and I meant it in a way where it's like, you're not too thin. You're not too
anything. Healthy.
You're just healthy. But I feel like it somehow has had a negative connotation.
I think so. I mean, of all the things, like if you just want a good go-to, just you're beautiful.
Sure. And that's what I, you know, tell my girlfriend, because she is.
Yeah, of course. And you're not just saying it because, but I mean, you wouldn't, the truth of the matter is you wouldn't be there if you weren't attracted
right,
to that person exactly. anyway. So I don't know. Like, but the only time I ever really ask a question like that is if I'm like, is this not flattering on like this sure. outfit? And even then it's a matter of just like fit. It's not right. a matter of like, I know I fucking look good naked. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Cause I'll just look in the mirror. I'm like, dang. but sometimes you wear certain clothes, especially when you have curves and you're like, this is cutting weird at my midsection. Right, and I don't think this is going to look good. So like, I'll ask that.
Yeah.
My ex was really good. He was like really good with fashion.
Nice.
He's that's like a really mean. Stylish dude. So yeah, I would do that. And I keep bringing him up, but that's because he's my only point of reference.
Sure.
No, so like, I have no one else to like, you know, refer back to when it comes to boyfriends.
I feel like, you know, my girlfriend will ask, you know, is this outfit nice? And Occasionally I'll be like, yeah, that doesn't quite work on you.
Sure.
But for the most part, because I just think she's beautiful, I just say yes. And then I know she has to just always disregard what I say.
Yeah.
Just, she'll just take it off or whatever.
We do that too. I mean, that's the kind of stuff I'll do with my mom where I'm like, you know, she's like, you're so beautiful. And I'm like, thanks, mom. Like, you know, you have to say that.
Right.
But then if some, like, you know, I don't know, this guy I'm seeing says it, I'm like, I am. Like, I didn't know until you said it. So yeah, it is something that you can kind of like brush off. But.
Okay. And then the second question or follow up about the ears would be the super glue. Cause that sounds like a fucking nightmare.
Not
how
good.
How did that hurt? Like,
yeah.
How?
Well, I mean, it wasn't like, the thing is like over time it naturally just, you know, like it dissolves. Unstick?
Really?
Or whatever. Okay. Like it's not made for skin.
Okay.
So.
I guess when you said super glue, I just thought of what American Pie 2 when he like super glues his hand to his dick when he's jerking off because he thinks it's cream.
Oh.
And
of course that's what happens in that movie.
Of course. Yeah.
Naturally.
Clearly it was definitely the highlight of American Pie 2.
Yeah.
But granted, ears are, I don't know. I just thought, man,
no,
that
over
brutal.
Over time. And even then, like I didn't know the thing about the fold.
Yeah.
So I could have just glued the fold, if that makes sense. Like I could have just pinned, like it's like making a taco out of your ear.
Yeah.
And like done that, but instead I just glued them to my head.
Yeah.
So it also didn't look normal. It wasn't like huh. You know, it was like yeah, it was just like are your ears melded into your fucking skull, Caitlin? I'm
just,
like, thank you.
I want to give every middle schooler a hug.
Oh,
you know?
God, I know. I lucked out that I didn't have acne. My sister had horrible acne and I remember being like, dodge that bullet. But I was overweight, you know.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, big time. And Hollister was brand new.
Oh, they don't make clothes for us.
No, they don't make Husky. I was wearing the Husky size pants, you know, that's what the boys' pants were.
Yeah.
And we had Hollister before. I grew up in Columbus, Ohio, which is the home of Les Wexner, who owns the Limited and Abercrombie.
Oh, that guy.
So Hollister was, we were in a test market. And so it was this hip, cool thing. And like,
it was big in North Carolina too.
Yeah. Eventually. Yeah. Obviously it went everywhere. But it was especially because, you know, like we're in Ohio, there's no beaches. And at this Hollister,
it's kind of a funny image when you think
and
about
it. At that Hollister, they would have a projector that would just, it was just
Six
Long
packs.
Beach.
Oh,
and it would just
be a
live stream of the beach.
Yeah, yeah, because like, we don't have one.
Wow.
Like, whoa.
And it just, the cologne smell was terrible. Everything about it was terrible in hindsight. But at the time, like, this is where I got to go.
Yeah,
so I ended up, for the pants to fit me, they were also 4 inches too long. So I was like stumbling over my pants and, you know, I didn't want
to
get glasses.
Because you're trying so hard to be like everybody else instead of being like, you know what? You would actually look better going to JCPenney and going to the plus size section. I don't know what that's a thing for dudes. I don't think plus size is.
It was husky pants. That was the term, which I never liked. It seemed kind
horrible,
of horrible.
Yeah,
it was not a nice term.
It's like, same thing with like plus size. Where you're like, do we even need to call it this? Really?
Yeah. Just have larger sizes.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Fine. Just go. Yeah.
But,
I don't know. Anyway. Yeah. Same thing.
Middle school. So I'm curious then, you mentioned that your boyfriend was your first relationship of any kind. Based on what you've described, what you were rocking in middle school and, I don't know, you know, into high school, did you have any relationships in high school or any hookups or anything like that?
Only drunken makeouts.
Okay, the drunken makeout.
Yeah, where, because I was like, I'd party a lot. And then, and at that point, God, the self-esteem was so low. It was like the only way I could get anything from any boy is if we're drunk.
Yeah.
You know, and they're desperate.
Right.
And I mean, I'm so glad that I didn't have sex with any of them.
Right.
I would regret that so bad nowadays. But it was something where I like wanted it, but I didn't at the same time. Like, I think I just wanted validation.
Right.
Cause I clearly had shit for self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it is true that, and I remember, I think probably my mom or some adult like telling me this, where they're like, just wait till you're older. Cause all the boys are they're going to love the fact that you have a sense of humor and you'll learn your own style. You'll learn how to do your hair. You'll learn how to do all that stuff, but you can't teach someone to have a great personality. Like,
right.
That's something that honestly is built off of shit self-esteem situations when you're younger.
Yeah.
You know, and I, nowadays, and this is kind of bad, but like I'll hang out with some of my friends from high school that were like the girls that everybody wanted to be.
Right.
And I'm like, so goddamn bored.
Yeah. Yeah.
you know, and it's, and I'm like, wow. And now I'm out here and I have all these friends, and I mean, we're just having, it's so much fun. They're so funny. They're so like wonderful and witty and smart and have got, because they all went through shit.
Yeah.
They all have been through a lot of shit, and we've learned to laugh about it and to make jokes about it. And, you know, so anybody who is going through shit, like, just know it's going to help.
Right.
You know?
And that's not a lot of, that's not much consolation in the moment, but it really is.
Oh,
true.
Yeah. I mean, I wish that I could go back to my middle school self and be like, just like, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
One day you're going to be living in a 2-bedroom apartment with a roommate.
Right.
No, that's good. Like,
that's the goal.
But you'll be in Los Angeles and you'll be doing stand-up comedy and, you know, like, you'll have a lot of friends and a good,
you'll be dating a model, albeit homeless model, but yeah. A model.
She doesn't, young Caitlin doesn't need to know the details, but you have, yeah, like, you've had a lot of fun sex with a lot of hot dudes and, you know, it's all good. But yeah, that boyfriend, I met him when I was in film school.
Right.
And I was still a virgin. Like, we were each other's firsts. And so I did wait a while. I was like 24, I think, when I did that.
Yeah.
Then I was with one dick up until like 2 years ago. And then I've just been having
a lot
of fun.
Is that your story that you were going to do?
Oh, yeah. Well, because I got very close to losing that in college. But I didn't.
Okay. What happened?
So, you know, it was one of those nights we'd been out drinking.
Yeah.
You know, and I had my eyes set on this guy. Like, I thought he was really cute. And he was one of the first dudes who ever hit on me. Like, he was like flirting with me. And it was like, oh, this is what it's like. Like, it was so great. Now, granted, our school had, it was like, I don't know, like 70% men and like 30%. Oh,
yeah.
It was like,
particularly in the film school. Yeah.
Sausage fest. So, yeah. I mean, it was like not a whole lot of competition for me to deal with, which helped.
Yeah.
But, you know, we ended up back at his place and like, there's a bunch of people hanging out, like, you know, but I was squatting in the dorms. I didn't technically legally live in the dorms. My friend Claire.
Were you also homeless?
No, I guess technically I was, but you know, my family lived 30 minutes from campus.
Oh, okay.
And my friend Claire had gotten one of those situations where she never got a roommate, but she had a bed in her room.
Yeah.
So it at first was just like, hey, we've got class till midnight or something. Like, can I just crash in your dorm? And then I just like never left
because
it was so much easier, but you can't get in the building without
the key,
without your card. It's like an ID card, right? So, it's like 2 a.m. or something. She's done asleep. I can't get into my dorm. I didn't, you know, it's like when you're drinking, you're not thinking about all this stuff. You're not making, you're not coordinating plans. And so I'm texting her, calling her, never. So I'm like, fuck, she's asleep. So I'm basically stuck staying at this dude's apartment.
Yeah.
And it's on campus, but it's off campus.
Right.
You know, it's campus adjacent. And when we got there, like, cause we were at a party on campus, we walked to his apartment and there's this cool little tunnel. Do you remember the tunnel?
Yes. Yeah.
But there's like a gate that he had to get us into. Again, another key that I don't have. And I'm also drunk. So I'm like, oh, there's a tunnel. Like, I don't remember the details of all this. So I'm in his place. It's time for bed, you know, I don't know, 2-3 a.m. or whatever. And I'm wearing a sexy dress, like a little hoochie thing, but I'm wearing tights because it was like November or something, you know, I'm wearing tights and I'm like, well, I'm just going to crash on this little couch. And I mean, it was like super small.
Yes.
And he's like, don't do that. Now, a real gentleman would be like, I'll sleep on the couch. You can have my bed. But he's like, don't do that. If you want, you can share the bed with me and like, it won't be weird, you know, like da, da, da. And I was like, all right, sure. So I leave all my clothes on, tights included.
Yeah.
Right. And
now, had you guys made out or anything at the party?
Think so, but it was definitely flirty and like, you know, we were like into each other.
Yeah.
And we talked for a while, you know, before like kind of falling asleep. And then the dude starts, like, I thought he was like cuddling with me, but really he was kind of like dry humping me.
Oh.
Like my leg. And I was like, and I'd like roll over and I'd be like, no, like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Like a dog just
dry humping. It's like, in what minds? Like, I just don't understand. Like, okay, I'm going to make a move on this girl. I really want to hook up with her. So I'm going to hump her leg. Like, it just doesn't, like, that'll get her in the mood. Like, it was like, no, I mean, like, of all the moves, this was a poor choice.
Yes.
So I remember sleeping like literally on the edge, as far away from this person as I could be, like hanging on, like underneath the mattress, you know, so I could just like sleep there with all my clothes on. And I never really even fell asleep. It was just like, I was just kind of like waiting for sun to come up so I could get out, go get breakfast and hang out until my roommate woke up. And, or at least I could drive home to my dad's or something. So literally 6 a.m. or whenever the sun comes up and I'm like, I book it out of there. I get my shoes on. I dip out. It's definitely, I'm thinking like, I'm in my mind, I was even thinking like, so this is what it must be like to have sex with someone and then have to like, and then like escape the next morning. Cause that was like the closest experience I'd had at that point. I was 21.
Yeah.
So I, yeah. And I like sneak out and I close, you know, I lock the door and I close it and then I'm like leaving and then I get out and there's no way for me to get out of this apartment complex. There's that tunnel that I mentioned that gets you back to campus, but I have no idea how to get out. There's a gate there. So I'm like, fuck. So then I go through the parking lot looking for an exit. There's only the gates for the cars. When they come in, the gates will open. It's 6 a.m. on a Sunday. No one is going in and out of this parking lot. And then there's a door like attached to that car gate, but it is locked. So I guess you have to use your key or like what another thing. And it's a tall gate. It's like, you know, 10 feet high or whatever. So I've gone for like 30 minutes. I'm just like circling this gate. Like, where the fuck do I get out? Let me out. I'm just like, so just, I'm like, I can't go back in the house. Even if I didn't lock the door, I'm not going back in there.
No.
And the gate through the tunnel, it's not like something I can climb over because it's a tunnel. Like the gate literally goes up to the top, like maybe a little like Cirque du Soleil type individual, you know, very small, like a little petite person could like sneak through there, but not me and my ass. So I was like, that's not going to happen. So my only option was to climb the car gate.
Oh God.
So again, hoochie skirt, hoochie out. Like I'm in a little tiny, like tight butt skirt, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like looking around. I'm like, it's 6 a.m. Like no one's up at this point. It's probably like 7 a.m. after all the time I've spent just trying to get out of this place.
Yeah.
So I'm scaling the this gate in my dress, like legs just spread wide open. And that is when a car does pull up.
Oh.
And it ends up being a TA that was one of my teachers because they live in those like on campus apartments too.
Yeah.
And I'm literally like holding on to this gate. If you've ever seen Bridesmaids, I was so pissed because she stole this experience from me. But that happens in Bridesmaids where she's like trying to get out and then the door opens. But I'm literally holding on to the gate like spread eagled as the car like pulls in and I'm like stuck. I'm just like, hi, Terry, you know, morning. And I like climb down and like run. I like book it out of there and I just run. And I just, all I could like, thank God I didn't have him as a teacher anymore. He was my teacher.
Yeah.
Like, if I had to go to his class like Monday morning, I would have died.
Yeah.
Then as I'm walking back to my car, which I had to park, you know, it was like off campus somewhere. I'm like walking there. Just like, I'm like laughing and crying at the same time.
Sure.
Again, it's like 7 a.m. I'm wearing the same clothes the night before. It looks like I just got fucked.
Yes.
And I end up passing another student who I had this huge crush on, who was like, you know, he's like a senior and I was a freshman and we were just on a movie to get like movie set together. And I was just like batting eyes at him the whole time. Like, he's so cute, you know? And of all the people that I run into on the way to my car, it's him.
Of course.
And it's like, oh, good morning. Hi, good morning. You know, and I'm pretty sure he was at the party I was at the night before and I'm in the same clothes and he's like got a coffee and he's walking his dog like a goddamn adult, you know? And I was like, good morrow.
Start over explaining. Oh, see, I didn't actually have sex with a guy. He dry humped my leg.
But. I'm a virgin. Yeah. Yeah. And God, it was just this thing. And it was like 7 a.m. So I still couldn't get into my dorm. So I was just like driving around, like laughing. And also like, I didn't know how to like process this whole thing. Cause it was so funny from like an objective point of view.
Right.
But in the moment I was like, God damn it. Could that have gone anywhere? It's like, yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So what was your next interaction with that guy like?
Did you know what's funny? My pathetic ass ended up like going out with him a couple times with only worse experience. It just only kept getting weirder and worse.
What happened?
Like one time, because again, nowadays, this Caitlin, this would not be any issue. Okay. But I hadn't even held a dick in my hands yet.
Right.
And there was at one point he was like, we were kind of like, we're making out and stuff and I wasn't ready. And he was like, well, he asked me if he could jack off. And I remember being like, sure. Like, I didn't know what to say. So I was just like lying there while he was like jerking off. And I was like, man, the ceiling is, could he really use a good power clean? Like, I was just, yeah, like, are you done yet? You know, like, I didn't know how to hand, you know.
Is he just staring at you?
I don't know. I don't remember. Honestly, like, yeah. Up until this point, I think I really just pushed it way back in the memory box.
I'm sure. Yeah, so I don't mean to make light of it. I know that this
it's not okay.
It's like, not okay, but because I
did say sure, you know, right. Like, I went with it, but it was kind of like, I don't know. Like, I've been fingered like one time. Like, that's it. You know, like, I don't have the experience for this. That's a pretty, to me, that's like a pretty, like that's a pretty, not dirty, but that's a little like scandalous.
Yeah. It's fucking weird.
Like, can I jerk off? Like, I was like, sure. I guess.
I don't know. I just can't, I in no way can I see how that would be a pleasurable experience, obviously for you,
for the woman, in
but also
case.
For him.
Yeah,
not that that matters, but like, yeah, I can't imagine why, as a guy,
like,
you'd want to just
so hot watching her stare at my ceiling.
Yeah,
you know? like
what?
Completely uninterested.
Oh my god, I don't understand it,
dude. Oh. I just, if I ever have daughters, I'm like, seriously, just wait till you're like 30, okay? Because by then they get all their deviant, all this like deviant behavior really starts to like.
Hopefully.
Average out, you hope. Yeah. Your chances are higher anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah.
So did you go out with him again after the jerk-off
session? I don't
think
so. I
was
think
that the last one?
I think that was the the straw that broke the camel's
that's
back.
Good. That's
you know,
good.
And I'm starting, this is good that we're doing this because it is a bit of a therapy session where I'm like, yeah, okay. We need to have higher standards. But I mean, this was like 8 years ago. But
well, sure, yeah. And I mean, was it a thing where you knew consciously you weren't ready, but at the same time, you kind of wanted to put yourself in a position where it could happen? Like, is it like,
yeah, it was something where I definitely wanted, you know, I wanted to have sex. Like, yeah. I wanted that. I wanted a boyfriend. I wanted all those things. I mean, I was 21, 22 years old. It was like, I was wanting that.
Yeah.
But this was not the person.
Right.
But because he was the only one at that point that showed me interest, I was like, let's just see what we can put up with. Cause maybe it'll work out. And it's like, don't do that.
Yeah.
But you know, when you haven't had it yet, you're like, it is a desperation.
Yeah.
So,
I can relate.
And when you think too, that you're not like, you're not hot enough to like have any guy you want or right. whatever, you're like, well, I'll have to figure out how to make this one work.
Right.
And that's not, don't do that. Like,
no,
nowadays I'm like, you know, I even slip into, I clearly have some old habits die hard or whatever situations like with the homeless guy. But I mean, for the most part, by the way, out of the, I don't know, 30 dudes I've dated since I've been single, two have been like, what were you thinking?
Right.
The other ones have been like, all great guys.
That's a great ratio.
That's a great rate. That's yeah. great odds.
28 to 2?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. And even then they were still great guys. They just like had certain qualities right. that were not like worthy of my standards.
Right. Sure.
So anyway, yeah, I've dated a lot. Since I've been single, I've yeah. like was like, I got time to make up for. I was 28 when I started dating.
Yeah.
Like, I'd never been on a date other than with my boyfriend, really, mm-hmm. up until I was 28 years old. So I was like, let's make up for lost time.
Well, when you did get with your boyfriend,
yeah.
how was that first time?
I don't remember because I took a Klonopin. I was so anxious.
Oh, no.
I was so nervous.
Had you planned?
Really,
had it been like, all right, this will be the night?
No, I don't think so. But it was so fucking cute. Like, seriously, Joe, it was so cute because I had this big crush on him and he's a little more introverted and kind of, you know, and a little self-conscious too. And like, we'd been hanging out for the whole summer. And then finally, it was really fucking adorable. So instead of, we wanted to like write, you know, like write letters to each other, but we were hanging out all the time. So like one day we were like at Michael's and I got this little notebook and we started writing letters to each other back and forth in the book.
Yeah.
And it was like this book that we'd pass back and forth and I'd like write him and it would be something really dumb in the beginning where it would just be like, let me tell you about this one time that, you know, where my mother, you know, it was like these little stories or whatever. And then I'd leave it at his apartment. And then when I'd come back over a couple days later, he'd reply and I'd be like, ooh, and I'd get so excited. And then we did this thing back and forth. And then finally in one of the entries, I said something like, sometimes I think about kissing you and I hope that's not weird or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I opened the door for him and then he wrote back and he said, I feel the same way and it will happen. Don't worry. Or something like that. And I remember reading it going, holy shit, like so fucking happy. And then we did that a couple times, like cause I think we were both so nervous and we hadn't had this experience and everything that like talking about this face to face, not going to happen.
Right.
But writing these letters to each other, It'd be like texting it. You know?
I was gonna say you were
easier.
You were analog texting.
Yeah, analog, or you know, back like in the. This was like, dear Jeffrey, I've been thinking about you during the war, and I just can't wait to feel your body against mine. Yeah, it was just very. It was very sweet, and we talked about our feelings about sex and how we couldn't do that unless we, you know, felt like we were in love and like all this. And he felt the same way, and I was like, oh my god, finally a guy just doesn't want to like get in my pants. Like that's not what this is about. And then we started. We like at that point we were like, okay, I want to be your boyfriend. I want to be your girlfriend. And like a week later, yeah, like we were having sex because we were like in it. At that point, we'd also spent all summer getting to know each other.
Sure.
And we developed all this stuff. So yeah, it was very cute.
That's great.
Yeah. It was the best way to start out for sure.
Well, to wrap up sort of our dating conversation, I'm just curious. Of the 30 guys you said you've dated since that relationship ended, how often is it that you've made the first move and how many times have they made the first move? And in what context have you, I mean, I know it's different for everybody, but where are you meeting these people?
Oh, okay. So I've asked out 3 guys in my time.
Yeah.
Only one of them I got turned down. And I was like, the fuck? Because he was like, really, like, he was definitely out, like, I was out of his league. And I was like,
really?
What?
Yeah.
But then I was like, thank God, though, because I am out of your league and this is weird.
Yeah.
But so I have asked him out, but usually, the last guy that I've seen someone since, the homeless guy. And that's been really interesting. I do like him a lot, but I don't know where it's going and it doesn't matter. But, I think I pretty much made the first move there
because
he like wasn't, he just, I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like you're on my bed right now.
Right.
We've been sitting here for an hour talking like within inches of each other's faces. Like what's going on?
Right. Yeah.
Because by that point, I mean, we'd gone on dates. We'd come back to my place. We'd, you know, sat on the couch. We'd cuddle. We'd done all this stuff. And I was like, you haven't made a move. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
So, and there was a reason for it. So anyway, and it's not because he's gay. So, I mean, I've like done that where I'm like, you know, I don't think I've ever been the one to physically like go in though.
Yeah.
You know, and like go for the kill, go for the kiss or whatever. But I've asked out guys before.
Yeah.
And then how do I meet them? I've met a few of them just like on the street. Like, honestly, like guys have come up to me and if I'm like, okay, you're cute. Like, but a lot of it's through Instagram.
Yeah.
At the very least, even if they hit on me on the street or something like that, or just like out in a public scenario, then we'll follow each other on Instagram and go through it that way. I think that's the best way. I've talked about that on my podcast. I think Instagram's great for this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Especially for women, because you can see way more of their life.
Right.
Than if just like a dating profile or something like that. And you can really get to know someone. I mean, granted, it's a one dimension. It's very one dimensional, but when you're dating in the beginning, it is pretty one dimensional.
Yeah.
You're just showing the best parts of yourself anyway.
Yep.
So, you know, take it with a grain of salt, but you're still seeing way more than just, you
the
know,
five
texting
pictures that,
or just,
you know,
yeah,
on a dating website.
Yeah. And they're like three sentence profile description. Like,
yeah.
No. I'm trying to think a couple maybe from work or, you know, from that, like being on set, hottest guy I ever hooked up with was cause I was first ADing a movie and he was the key grip.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, key grips. They're either really gross, like old men who've like smoked themselves to an oblivion.
Right.
Or they're really hot, muscular, younger men who can lift you up.
Yes.
Emotionally, physically, and sexually.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if there's a better way to wrap it up than that.
Yeah, that's the way to go. I'm glad that's how we're ending. It's a good thing for me to be thinking about on my way out here today.
I don't know how we could tie it in necessarily, but did you want to talk about your opera singing, Mom?
You know what? After talking about fucking a key grip, I think I should leave my mom out of it.
Speaking of fucking a key grip, I
how's
hear
your
mom's an opera singer. Did she wail like
Yeah, no. It is funny though, like my mom's pretty, I will say she's pretty big prude.
Yeah.
And is not cool with sex really at all, and like we talk about everything, but when I bring up sex she's just like, "Oh god, Caitlin, I just can't." So I've learned, I was like, "Okay, Mom, I won't talk about sex anymore with you." And she's like, "Just don't have it. Just wait, just stop, you know." just wait till you're married and then only do it for kids. And I'm like, you poor, poor woman. Like, if that's the only way you've experienced sex, I feel so sorry for you. Sex is fun, but wear protection, kids.
Boom.
That's right.
All right. Well, and you, I did mention it, but you have a podcast yourself. Did you want to, it's called Single AF.
Yeah. Right now my comedy show is on hiatus, so I can't really plug that. So yeah, just check out Single AF, on Instagram. It's Single AF Pod. And we do an episode every other week, and you can also submit questions, any kind of dating, relationship, sex, anything. And we have a lot of people who message us from all over the world, which is pretty cool. And we talk about it from a male and a female perspective and usually have guests on too. So it's a really fun podcast, and we get into it. This last episode, we talked about like how to talk to your partner about grooming issues, like pubic grooming issues. Uh-huh. And, yeah, like if you're a woman, like how do you approach a man if you want to like date that? Like a lot of just, you know, specifics. It's fun. So yeah, check that out. And thank you so much for having me. This Absolutely. Has been so much fun.
Yeah, it's been a blast. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no problem.
That was the episode. Big thanks to Caitlin again for coming on. And again, her podcast is called Single AF. I highly suggest you check it out. It's a lot of fun. And again, they're just, she and her co-host are really open and honest and funny. So check that out. Check out badtimesgoodstoriespod.com for past episodes, merch, and Patreon. Email me at badtimesgoodstoriespodcast@gmail.com. And give us that 5-star rating. So I hope you have a great week. And until next Wednesday, keep laughing.